Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast. My guest today is Killian Hernett, who's a physiotherapist. And we will talk about physiotherapy, rugby, concussions, and one of the symptoms that's often overlooked, but is very, very common, and Killian found it himself when he had his concussions, is mental health issues. First, though, I'd like to thank Masantra HeadCheck Health. HeadCheck Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Track Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more. And please subscribe, rate, review, follow me wherever you get podcasts, so Apple, Spotify, Good Pods, YouTube, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever else you find podcasts. And please check out the advertisers on my webpage, so at concussiondoc.com. Thank you very much. Hope you enjoy this interview. I hope this is recording now. I'll check again.
We're not doing this the third time.
It is recording. Great. All right. So this is Killian and me, and this is round two. We recorded last Thursday, and there was too much distortion. I had the mic turned up too high, so we had to record again. So apologies if this is, well, actually, no, you haven't heard it before, so never mind. It's not a repeat. It's a repeat for us. But for Killian and me, it's, you know, it's just, you know, price of the game, or price of participation, or something like that. Anyway, this is all rambling, so I just try to record this.
It doesn't matter. This is a beauty podcast, man. You can cut whatever the fuck
exactly,
you want.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, mate, who knows. But now, with Killian Hernett, and I guess we'll just, again, you just introduce yourself to who is, we will talk about concussions, physiotherapy, rugby, and your podcast, PC Lab podcast, but and anything else you feel you want to talk about?
Yeah, sure.
But First of all, just introduce yourself to the lovely people.
Yeah, I guess I would be St. John's, born and raised. Both my parents were Irish. They came over in 1984, immigrated over during the recession, had three crazy boys. I'd be right in the middle. I guess the reason the Hernetts are here is part and parcel because the Parfrey household and Pat Sr. recruited my dad over, who worked together in the same field, and then my mother and Ben Vaughn, who was Pat's wife, they were best friends as well. So really grew up in town. I grew up in households where education and sport was very, very preached. We're around seven boys, so I didn't really know how to talk to females until I was about 25. But very, very competitive, very fun, very active childhood. Realized probably by the age of 16, I was definitely not good enough to go pro on anything. and probably had the insight and the awareness.
You've been sports, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to a pro and pick a derby.
Yeah, I guess I am pro. I pretend to be pro at that anyway. I don't think I know near as much as some of my colleagues, for sure. I'm only 8 years out. But
exactly.
Yeah, that is what I do by trade. Yeah. I guess how I came to that, I, again, was fortunate to grow up with brothers and parents who really preached school. So I had a plan of going to a ski resort that I used to ski at called Grey Rocks in Quebec.
Yes.
Long story less long, they bankrupt. So instead of having the high school
when
plan.
When did they bankrupt? Because I remember hearing about them all the time. I wasn't a skier, but there's no people.
Yeah, so they're affiliated with Mount Tremblant. Okay. So they're right across, like only like a 20-minute drive.
Okay.
And my parents fell in love with the place. They learned how to ski there.
Okay.
Both being Irish, they'd never skied before.
They showed you how to ski.
They did, yeah. I was okay at one point, actually. But I guess there was golf, tennis, and skiing, which would have been three sports that...
Not cheap.
No. But I was hoping to become a coach in all of those instead of going to university right away.
Yeah.
And much to the approval of my mother, because they went bankrupt, I decided to go to Memorial.
Ah.
And I pursued, so I guess like anyone, you didn't really know what you wanted to do. So first year was a bit of a trial period, and then a good buddy of mine who's a physio here locally, he was like, Kelly, you should try KIN, I'm doing it, kinesiology. So I did that, graduated in 2013, and then fortunately it was a great program, really good program in Mon. And then from work placements, I figured out I was going to go down the physiotherapy route.
Cool.
And yeah, I was accepted into the University of College Dublin in Ireland. Right. So I went over there from 2013 to 15, somehow convinced them to let me pass. And then, I...
Take the wheels and you get your...
Yeah, it wasn't a very straightforward path for me, man. Like, I came back 2015, and the way the exam works is you have to pass multiple choice exam to be able to work on a temporary license.
Your boards,
I struggled immensely. Yeah. I have a letter on my wall that says I'm not allowed to practice in Canada, because if you fail three times, you're sort of abolished from the system. And the way around that is, the way around it for me was there was an hour-long delay the third time. So yeah. That went through the, the process. Yeah, it was like the academic reconsideration process. So I went through that. But that took over 2 years to have an attempt at all three of those exams. So an international graduate, that happens. And fortunately, I was working as a personal trainer during that time.
Right.
And I did a little bit of work with some of the MUN teams as a volunteer basis as a kid, but... when I was in kinesiology. So that was very, very good for my professional development. Yeah. So I worked in a place called Definitions and worked alongside some physios, but some really good strength and conditioning coaches.
Was that the one in Elizabeth Avenue?
It was started by Mike Wall and Mike O'Neill.
Oh, Mike Wall, yeah.
They started downtown, but when I got on board, they were
Mike Wall's done a podcast.
Yeah, Mike's where's Mike right now? He's in Hawaii right now. He's in Hawaii right now.
Is he?
Yeah. But yeah, Mike's a great guy. So yeah, I worked with them for more or less 2 years. And then I realized that I had put all my focus on the third attempt. And then there was a local physiotherapist here called Rob Kelland, who really gave me a great opportunity to learn under him on an unpaid internship for 7 months. And probably the greatest thing that ever happened to me was failing that exam three times, because that sent me back overseas.
Yeah.
I made two calls. I made a call to my buddy, who's a non-practicing lawyer in Ottawa, to help spice up my appeal letter.
Yeah.
And got on the second call was to a guy named Stephen Brownlow, who's one of my best buddies in Ireland. And he advocated for me, and I got to work in one of the top sports medicine clinics over in Ireland called DBC. So that really, really fast-tracked my learning, but also I think in any profession, it's best to surround yourselves by experts and people who are way smarter than you. So with all the ups and downs and all the, I'm not going to say my story is much different than anyone's. You deal with the unfortunate stuff, and you build up some armor from it. But I've been very fortunate to pick the brains of and more or less steal the treatments, protocols, and the advice of people a lot more experienced than me. So I was there from 2017 to 2019, very much in a sports role. My family history, we would have all been very, very sports inclined. I was better at tennis and golf than anything, but my father is Irish born, absolutely loved rugby and golf.
Yeah.
So I always had appreciation for the sports, but working in a professional capacity in the sport of rugby here in Swiler starting in 2013 from a volunteer perspective, and then seeing it on a professional level in Ireland.
Yeah.
I fell in love with the culture, how humble people were, how we focused they were instead of I focused.
Yeah.
And I realized that most of my friends were rugby players. And I said, you know what, I've got to try this. So I played at a very limited capacity in Ireland. Because my main obligations to the club were as a professional, and you're not much good as a physio if you're hurt, right? And you look at me and you'll tell, like, I don't have a traditional build for rugby, but an athlete is an athlete. Yeah. So any body type can play if you're half cracked to be willing to sign up for volunteer war for 80 minutes. So I fell in love with it, and came back here 2019, and COVID happened. And I guess along the way, then I suited up for my first year. And I guess the context of this podcast is more head injuries. So I had a very, very bad head injury last July. So it was July 16th.
Right.
And that sort of put me on this roller coaster ride of the last 9 months of having to come to terms with my past with head injuries in sport and with just living life.
And learning about the concussions, Marcus. Did you learn much about concussion or brain injury at all when you were in school?
Man, honestly, we did, shout out to two of my classmates now, we did a course in Mon, and we had the option of picking the topic.
Yeah.
And we did head injuries in the NFL, looking at different helmets.
Yeah.
And then CTE was a big thing coming up then, but it wasn't very well understood.
Yeah.
And then, no, we didn't do any in physio school.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, I think in the last 5 years, it's become a lot more understood.
Yeah.
There's a lot more emphasis. What I can say is my work experience has been quite good in that sense.
Yeah.
I do not call myself a concussion expert.
No.
I can deal with concussions in rugby and in hockey, because I've had experience in it. But I will be the first one to tell you that if someone has a very, very complicated head injury past, I send them down to NL Bounce Dizzy Clinic.
Yeah.
And
Kevin, yeah.
Well, Kev's good. Kev's really good. Yeah. Kev's good at more of the sports side of things, but Jake Warren and Kim Furlong and Alex Lai, and the list goes on. They're all very, very like heavily trained in this. They've done continuous professional development courses.
I was saying Kevin because he's in your podcast, right?
Yeah, Kevin's a business partner of mine. He's a mentor of mine. He's looked after me my entire life. I mean, they're the ones doing it at this level, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I went over to Ireland and the IRFU, which is the Irish Rugby Federation Union, they were really putting a hard, hard stance on taking care of head injuries. Oh, so in 2017, the protocols have changed now.
That's where World Rugby is there in Dublin too, right?
Oh man, rugby.
World Rugby headquarters?
They're in, I don't know where they are in Ireland, but they're.
I figured they're
Dublin, down. Probably. Yeah. Probably.
I thought they were like above the like north, there's not the south of Liffey. There's like north.
Yep.
There's a state in there, I think.
Yeah, there's one called the Aviva, the glass one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you're dead right. So that has a capacity of about 65,000.
Okay, so that's right.
So they'll host the big rugby games, the national games there, right? Or the international games. So, yeah, you're right. The IRFU oversees rugby there, right?
Okay.
That would be like Hockey Canada here.
All right. Okay.
So they implemented concussion return to play protocols for grassroots levels and then pro. And at the time, it was 23 days for anyone under the age of 18, and then 21 days graded return to play kind of thing for anyone over the age of 18 to 19. They have since changed that. It's a little bit less strict now.
Yeah.
But like any injury, Nick, it's more based on symptom.
Yeah, but and it's evolved a lot in the past. Since like 5 years, 2 years even.
Big time, man. Like, when did you have your injury?
Oh, I had a surgery in 03.
Yeah.
So I'll be 20 years in August. And I mean, no one knew that brain injury at all. Even concussions were like way down the line, but brain injury, it's even that is a very severe one. Like, I was in a coma, and it was like they had no idea what to do.
Yeah, you're right. It's such a brand new growing field, and like similar to you, I think my first real diagnosed concussion was in 2002.
Yeah.
And I played in that hockey game, and that wasn't to the fault of any of my coaches. Right. It was just that wasn't understood, right? And like, I was knocked out. I was not in a coma for 2 weeks, but I was knocked out for a few seconds or a few minutes, and blurry memories of that at 12. But I think... head injury, and also like, who remembers anything when you're 12, right? But I think like over the years, I can definitively say I've been diagnosed with 5 or 6 like good knocks, right? And like, I've got a few scars on the back of my head from stitches, and a lot of it was just being a rambunctious kid, or young adult who didn't really care about his personal safety too much, right?
Didn't think much further than like this.
Or
6 inches around your face.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like, I've had symptoms in the last 9 months that you can't really ignore.
Right? Yeah.
So I got kicked in the head just during a routine rugby play, and that stuff happens, right? And
that was you were back here when you were in.
Yeah. So this was.
And then you started playing rugby in Ireland, but you were actually concussed majorly. Last July here.
Yeah, so I was 32 last summer. Well, 31 when that happened, turning 32. But I'd only really started playing when I was about 28 or 29.
Okay.
It would have been 2018 when I started really playing over in Ireland.
Yeah.
It probably took one bad hit, just come to think of it, in training. Just like a whiplash. Hitting an AstroTurf cold in the middle of winter, but like I was very fortunate I didn't actually play that much because it was really so last I'd probably take you back now because it's more relevant, but it would have been July 16th of 2022, just a routine play. I caught the ball, I was tackled by 4 people. And then the way it works in rugby is it's called a ruck to protect the ball. Your teammate comes in, and the other team comes, and they fight for possession of the ball, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit hectic in there, for lack of a better term, for anyone who hasn't played rugby or watched it or understand it. So one of the guys inadvertently on my team kicked me in the head, but I'll take ownership. I didn't position my body in the ideal way of protecting my head.
Yeah.
My entire focus was, okay, I got hit on my, like rolled over on my right. I need to get to the left because I want to protect the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So again, like anything, you're generally thinking of more, okay, how am I going to be better for my team than personal safety? So, I got kicked in the head. Fortunate to have really, really good coaches. Morgan Lovell's phenomenal coach. He's done so much for the sport in this province, from grassroots all the way up. And he's very, very well trained in concussions. And then we were fortunate for 1 year to have Jamie Codmore, who's played pro rugby and made a career out of it.
He was on the podcast in an episode. I sent you.
He sent me that. Yeah, 20
or 22 or something like that. I think it's 20. I'm going to say 22, but I could be wrong. But
great
luck with James Comore on my
podcast. Great guy. He and like, he played 18 years, so he's had his own extensive head issues. So both of them were on the sidelines. The guys hauled me off.
Yeah,
I had a goose egg on my head, so basically my forehead had shot out in a certain way from the cleat. One of my good buddies here told me to put a cold spoon on it and said it happens, right? But again, it's interesting, given I had worked on the other side of that, had to not diagnose, but
treatment.
Look for and then send on for a doctor to then look at treat concussions, right? Yeah. I've been doing that for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I was in denial. I actually did not think I had a concussion because I was naive. I wasn't looking at emotional issues.
Yeah.
I was looking for your classic dizziness, headache, nausea, sensitivity to light, and I didn't have any of those.
Yeah.
So the next day I went for a trail run, and I did that because I was subbed out of the game early, so I was like, I gotta keep my fitness going. And it was interesting, your alarm bells had gone off at the end of that 10 or 11K trail run. I started crying.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I was like overwhelmed with massive positive emotions or negative. It just, to me, it was like, I am crying and I cannot stop.
Yeah.
So it was really like an eye-opening thing, being like, man, this has got to be related, right? And then, like, concussions are much...
Is it then your training, your physio training kind of kicked in? You're like,
I don't know.
Wait a second, I... My
you know what, man? It was more common sense because, yes, some physio training, like, I was diagnosed with ADHD. Right. I understand where what the prefrontal cortex does that allows us to, you know, regulate our emotions.
Yeah.
And then I knew from my head injury that if I had hurt a certain part, it would have been that part. Yeah. Right? The front of the brain.
Yeah.
But really, man, I just think you hear these horror stories that go mainstream, like the wrestler who had unfortunately murdered his wife and his family. And and then I've seen people react acutely in ways that their personality wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Like they'd be very aggressive or very dismissive or they wouldn't be themselves. And it just sort of clicked. And I was like, hey, like, this isn't cool. So I hadn't slept, I hadn't slept 4 days after this, but at that time, I then went into the two coaches the next day, and I asked them about it, and they were like, yeah, Kill, that's classic stuff that's coming out now, you gotta watch it.
Yeah.
So right now, to put more of the, I guess the recommendations on it, is that first 7 days, you've gotta really be careful, because... Yeah. From what I understand and what I know is the metabolic demands on your brain after a head injury.
Right, yes.
Leave concussions out of it. A head injury is a head injury.
Yeah.
Can range anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And the protocol right now is 7 days rest.
Yeah.
And then rest for the listener wouldn't be like go in a dark room and do nothing.
No,
it's the healthy, well, it doesn't work for anyone, right? No. That's a surefire way to become mentally unwell.
Yeah, exactly.
The big things are like the healthy things. So, you know, make sure you're getting your rest.
Yeah.
Try to reduce your work hours, less screen time, eat healthy, go for walks, reduce sunlight if you are getting symptoms from light sensitivity. Yeah. Just common sense stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't allow myself to do that. I was exercising at a very high capacity.
Yeah.
And then the big thing you're looking for after that 7 day mark is a graded return to play. So usually heart rate is a very good objective measure for that. So you'd start off light.
Yeah.
You'd go light jogging, or for yourself who's a biker, you'd go very light.
A couple K
or you were a biker, or swimming for you right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't do an hour long. You might do 50 meters, see how you react, take a break.
Yeah.
But the big thing then is exertion.
Yeah.
So with exertion comes more metabolic demand for your brain to then recover and process and then adapt to the body. And like the big thing for me then was I made a big mistake. I just wanted to be around. It was my new addiction. It was like, okay, I want to learn more about rugby.
Yeah.
So we had practiced that night Tuesday, and I just looked and I was like, can I just, you know, walk in?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, no problem. One of the younger guys, we were like suspecting whether he had a head injury too, so I did an assessment on him. Both of us are standing in as non-contact guys.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to no fault of the player that hit me, but he was just in the middle of a drill. He was young.
Yeah,
playing with men, he was probably a little nervous,
and
he cleared me out. He didn't tack me to the ground, but I felt this electric shock. Go down from literally head to toe.
You like it's in the body.
It literally would have been like a shoulder and just a wrap, and he didn't bring me to the ground, but I just felt it right, and it lasted like a second. And your man apologized right away. He's like, "So I'm so sorry." I'm like, "Hey, don't worry about it." But like to me, that
something as innocuous as that or innocent as that really spoke to where and how severe my head injury was. And I didn't sleep for 4 days, and then it would have been July 20th. I had what they would have called, and it sounds like a very, it was basically a delusion. So the way I describe that is my brain hadn't rested for 4 days, and I was trying to work. I was trying
could
to
you,
do all
could
this.
You not know you couldn't sleep because of the head injury, or just couldn't sleep because you were like young and just out doing stuff, or were you?
I think the big thing for me, man, looking back, was I didn't give myself a chance to rest. Yeah. So all the experts in the world, they have made these protocols that seem simple, but they're very, very, they're very well thought out. So for those 7 days, minimum.
Yeah,
you need to really reduce what you're
doing. But you said you couldn't sleep. You stayed in the sleep for 4 days.
Couldn't do it, man.
Couldn't get it.
It wasn't like, you know, like we all have sleepless nights. There wasn't any acute stressors in my life. There was nothing.
You weren't like going out like.
No, I wasn't drinking at all. No, man. Like it was just my brain for whatever reason could not shut off. And sleep can go extremes on one way, right? Yeah. And. So July 20th, I was in Churchill Square, which we're looking at here, and for any of the listeners, it's a place in St. John's, and I was not myself. Didn't do anything particularly bad, but it was worrisome to the public, and thank God I got the treatment I needed. So an ambulance was called, I was sent to the hospital, and then the psychiatric hospital here kept me overnight, and I knew the resident the next day. She was like, you seem like yourself.
Yeah.
And then the psychiatrist who came in just to see what was on the go for the first time, he was like, you seem fine. But it's rare with head injuries that you have a delusion, but it can happen.
Yeah.
And then he said the chances of you having a delusion, and again, go way up.
Yeah.
So I was in the middle of squash provincials. I've come to terms with I'm probably never playing contact sports again. It's just not worth it for me, given symptoms I've had. And, I was in the middle of that, and just a few weird nights sleeping, and I was at work. We were working with a few of the young rugby guys doing some strength and conditioning, and I looked at my business partner, and I was like, hey, man, I feel like this is happening again.
Yeah.
And it was worrisome, right? Like, I was held overnight again for a couple days, and basically, the diagnosis wasn't any mental health stuff. They were like, we don't think this is because you have ADHD. It's not bipolar. It's not your classic mental health stuff. She basically just said, you have a susceptibility to hand injuries.
Yeah.
And this is your like most aggressive symptom. And like now there's no denial from me anymore, because that was a big thing, was the denial.
Yeah, that's easy one to get into.
Yeah, of course, especially like if like I wasn't having any outside issues in terms of, yes, my behavior, I've always been a high-low kind of guy in sports. Yeah. I had a bit of a bad history that I earned from throwing rackets and pissing people off and being a bit of a mouthpiece and all that, but like that's sort of that's just me, right? So Jake Warren, shout out to Jake, one of the best, if not the best, concussion physio here. He's fantastic. Yeah. He's been looking after me, and he's like, you know, a lot of these things can get blurred, and it's an interesting field, right? It's a silent injury.
Yeah.
And
a lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I don't think people fully appreciate how it can affect every facet of your life until you've had an injury, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I it's not fair to compare, but, like, you can definitely relate to this.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can. I don't want to speak for you. It has made me, for the first time in my life, prioritize my health over any professional or physical activity goal I've had.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a blessing in disguise.
I think the right theory is that you were so honest about it. Like, when you went to see Jamie and the other coach, your name, but I just forget. But after you had your run.
Jamie and Morgan.
Morgan, you went to see him and you said, I cried, I had very, very emotional response after my run yesterday. Did you tell them that?
You're very honest with them.
So
yeah, dude, yeah.
But it's like, and they, like, now you're honest, but now it's easy to be honest because you've
had... No, I was honest then. I went to them because I was concerned.
Exactly.
During the game,
yeah,
I tried to brush it off.
Yeah, but that's your...
It was too obvious for them, and we were fortunate to be way up.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was only on because we were way up. I wasn't one of the better players. Like, there was a favor that I was on, right? But there is a huge side of that in sport.
Yeah.
And... you know, athletes are going to want to play.
Yeah.
And there's pre-season testing you can do with pro athletes that we would have done in Ireland. And a lot of guys will say this. They'll say, or women, they'll say, through those results.
Yeah.
So that when and if they have the head injury and they do the neurocognitive testing and the balance testing, that they don't have to operate on the same level. Now, if you're a skilled clinician...
You'll see through.
To a certain point, right? Yeah, but again, it's one thing if you got a bum knee and you see someone limping.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's your head, right? Yeah, so unless it's very, very bad and very acute, you're likely not going to see these balance coordination issues. But that's not always the case. Always the case.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to being a good clinician, but also... the culture that's put on the sport. Like, I will say this here, head injuries have become way, way more thorough. And people realize that you don't want to mess with it. And it's changed a lot in Ireland. It's changed a lot. I can't speak to hockey here, but it's changed a ton, right?
Yeah.
And coaches are better trained in it.
Yeah.
Players are more aware of it. There's more emphasis put on sports science now. So having a third party who's probably a little bit biased to the team they work for, but aren't coaches, aren't players, and are there as the person to make that call.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know the Brain Association, we're hoping to do a program with top of Concussion Canada.
Nice.
Concussion Foundation, Foundation Canada.
Yep.
To get the word out about concussions in schools and camps and just younger people. It's about, there seems to be a lack of recognition here, but it's getting better, as you said.
Yeah,
it's important.
And Jake will say this too. I don't want to take words out of his mouth, but a lot of concussion experts will say this. A lot of concussions do get better, right?
They do
get better.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing you can do is not take that time in between to heal. Because if you don't give yourself time to heal, there's this thing called second impact syndrome.
Yeah.
That can be life-threatening.
Yeah, like Roman's Law. I talked to Stringer.
Talked to him
just after a night. This was my being on a podcast with, like, 5 years ago. No, six, seven years ago. About when he started the campaign to get that rule, that legislation in Australia.
Peter Stringer, is it?
Gordon, obviously Gordon Bennett.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, it's her Rowan Singer's dad.
Oh, okay. Okay, I don't know. Go on.
He started the campaign to get the legislation, Rowan's law and her to get the concussion legislation.
Was that the young boy who died because of that?
The young woman, young girl, because she was like high school.
Oh dear God! Yeah. So she had taken two hits to the head, and
at least two, I think. Yeah,
brutal.
Yeah,
you do hear that, right? Yeah. And
it was a rugby too.
Yeah, it's that's the, you're not going to get rid of head injuries in contact sports. It's just about being able to better manage them, and then within reasons and within the context of the game. I will say this about rugby, there's a huge emphasis on high tackles and proper tackle technique that does not exist in American football.
Yeah.
American football, you do not need to wrap up.
Yeah.
And there's glory and there's a culture of laying the big hit.
Yeah.
Now there's that in anything. There's that in hockey, there's that in rugby, and you have to appreciate like soccer.
Yeah.
Like the speed at which that ball goes, and then like women and men have to then head the ball.
Yeah.
There was a guy in Ireland who did a concussion presentation. He's one of the better Irish national players, and he had to stop playing at 32.
Oh, wow.
And if you think about it,
soccer man
is big too, right? Yeah. People don't appreciate how physical that is, but as it relates to the head,
massive.
Yeah, well, you think about contesting, going up for a ball, the inadvertent times when you'll go to head the ball and you'll hit someone's head, right? And then just if you
don't just take the ball,
if you hit the ball, right, and you can get it off the right part of your head, but that's not going to happen all the time.
No.
Nor is like the right part of your head. Is there a right part of your head? Right?
Exactly. So,
It's. I have two minds about it because.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be pro sport.
Two minds about a lot of stuff.
Based on
testing and like, and then like said, soccer headers. Like, I don't know the whole physics and the whole research behind it. But some say definitely not. Some say. Yeah, maybe. So
it's hard to know. It goes back to symptoms, and then you brought it up too. The athlete has to be willing to confide in.
Honesty is a big thing for you. Always, you get help is because you're honest with your coaches and deputy. Just says like, look, I'm not feeling well. I'm emotional or whatever.
It's challenging from the clinician side because like we can assess for muscle imbalance. We can assess if someone has a tendinopathy or these things are easier to see or see patterns in.
Yeah.
And people who are trained in concussions can see this stuff too.
Yeah.
But if you don't have honesty in terms of what symptoms people tell you, no matter if it's a concussion or an ankle. Like it's not a win for the clinician, it's not a win for the athlete. Because then it's documented and it's not true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tough to know, right? But, I think, like, what you guys are doing with the podcast is amazing. And then you're getting a diverse amount of experts.
And you guys is just, don't do my harm, but you guys is just me. There's no other else on the podcast. No one else works here. It's just me.
Is it just you?
It's just me.
Fuck, fair play to you, man. Yeah.
I do concussion talk. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Started the blog in 2010. In the podcast in 2015.
Yeah.
Just because I
wanted to. Dude, you were starting podcasts before they were cool. Good for you.
Kind of. Nice. They're really cool. But yeah.
So, like, I don't know. From my side, it's interesting now that I'm going through the role of the patient.
Yeah.
And I would never consider myself a concussion expert. I have to do way more. Yeah. I've gone a different avenue.
Yeah.
But it's next on my list.
Yeah.
Because of the sports I've aligned myself with.
You got a great teacher, like Jake. Like,
yeah, yeah. Like, I've learned. Like, yeah, yeah. Big time. Yeah.
It happened there.
Well, that's rings. Yeah. And I think the best way to learn how to treat something is to go through it yourself too, right? But
that's true.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Nick, you could probably speak to this too. I think...
I'm not a physio.
No, but just speaking on some of the mental health stuff, man, it sucks, right? It really does suck to go through the head injury stuff.
Yeah.
And I would always have considered myself a pretty driven dude. And then for 2 or 3 months after that hit to the head last year.
You were saying your parents, you're at home, like lying on your parents, like, You want to do anything, you're laying your parents.
Yeah, so the medical term for that is apathetic. Yeah. So it's basically lacking any motivation or drive. And I was sleeping 14 hours a day. Shout out to Paragon Physiotherapy, Michael Chryson, wicked dude. I was working with him, and he allotted me time to go for naps, and he knew my behavior was a bit off, and he was just very understanding, very, like, I would just say he was very compassionate with it, and it was really nice to have the support there, but, like, man, it was crazy. I was completely content with doing nothing for the first time in my life, and it wasn't that I felt bad about that. Like, usually I'd be like, man, go do something, like, get your ass up. But it was honestly, like, my body and my brain was like, you need to do nothing.
Yeah.
And, man, I was forgetting X, Y, and Z. I was looking at notes, and I was like, man, I'm spelling stuff wrong. Yeah. And then the big, 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 like, thing I could not ignore then was, yes, having the delusion again during provincials, but it was when I was in Barrie, Ontario, pursuing a very, very cool work opportunity.
Yeah.
Calm Physio, there you go, I've got the hat on. Well, there's Tom Swales and their team, they're amazing. Yeah. So I learned a ton when I was there, but I realized I couldn't multitask.
Yeah.
At the capacity I needed to, and any private healthcare practitioner will tell you it's a grind, right?
Yeah.
There's paperwork, there's X, Y, and Z, things come up on demand, and I wasn't operating like I was since 2017, going to Ireland and then coming back and working. So I realized, I was like, man, cognitively I'm not right. Yeah. And luckily that stuff has gotten a lot better. But it's scary, man, because the multitude of symptoms you can have. And what I'd really like to reiterate to the listener, if they get anything out of this, is don't discredit what your emotions are after a head injury. Because that stuff is not your classic dizziness, your headache, your lightheadedness.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that makes you who you are too.
Yeah.
Right? So you might not be thinking with any, like, as much, like, rational thinking, or you might be more emotionally charged, and just appreciate that. Like, appreciate that you might have some higher lows and some higher highs, and, like, be aware of that. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but if it's an abrupt change in your personality, that's a problem, man.
It's a symptom. It's just like your knee hurts. Your brain is like just the same thing. Emotions, like, it's the same. Although we don't treat the thing, we always think it's something wrong in your brain. Means you're some way or the other. But, like, it's a symptom of an injury.
Big time.
You got to really treat the injury before you can treat the. Or recognize the injury before you can treat the symptom.
Absolutely, man. You have to know the cause, right? Yeah. Before you treat the symptom. Or you're just putting a band-aid on a cut knuckle and you keep moving that knuckle, right? You're dead right.
Yeah.
So, it's an honor to be asked to come on a podcast like this, first of all. I think rugby is probably the greatest sport in the world. I'm biased that. Yeah. And I will also say it's probably the one that's most predisposed to having concussion issues. So it's the evil side, but the real side of it. And sports science is getting promising on this, right?
Yeah,
So, like, for me, like, there's people out there who've had a lot worse head injuries. People who've had many, many more injuries.
Yeah.
But again, these things, they have to work for you at the end of the day. And You got one brain, you got one body.
Yeah.
And your body's no good without your brain. Mm-hmm. So it's humbling, but it's also real. Like, I wouldn't want anyone to have to go through the lows that I felt after a concussion. Yeah. I really wouldn't. And just for the listener, man, like, do not discredit how important looking after yourself is from that regard.
Mentally and physically.
Yeah, and mentally is even more important, honestly. Yeah. Because if you're good mentally, you can help others.
Yeah.
And then also you can look after yourself, right?
Yeah.
If you're your whole self, you're good.
Yeah.
That starts with the mental side of things. Yeah. For sure. In my opinion. Yeah.
No, I think these are excellent words for everybody here, and hopefully people pay attention. And now I guess I'll get in some time to plug yourself and plug your clinic and podcast or clinic or both, or which, how do you want to do it?
Yeah, sure, man. We'll do some shameless plugging. Yeah, so Yeah, we won't disclose where we are in paradise quite just yet.
That's Newfoundland.
Yeah, so yeah, Paradise is a lovely, lovely community just outside of St. John's and Mount Pearl CBS here. Very growing population. I guess it's a town, really.
Is it?
It is. I'm an A1A townie, so...
Has a mayor? Me too.
Yeah.
Has a mayor?
I don't know. It is. It's called the Town of Paradise. Oh, 100%. So we will be working out of there sooner rather than later, but... We're also here in St. John's. We have a small clinic. So it's Phil Alcock, Kevin Parfrey, and myself, Killian Harness. We've started a company called PT Lab. And yeah, myself and Kevin do physiotherapy. Phil is a personal trainer and nutrition expert. And all three of us oversee group training.
And you're at Swallers?
Yeah, we're at Swallers Rugby Club. So. Hunter Crosby Road, next to the Powerplex, and yeah, we're just in the middle of building something that's hopefully going to do a lot of good and be a lot really helpful for not only athletes but anyone that that has an injury or thinks they can avail or wants to better themselves. So we're tackling it from really three different pillars. So I would say four would be physiotherapy, strength and conditioning, nutrition, and then with nutrition goes recovery. And recovery is an umbrella term for, you know, soft tissue, cryotherapy, which is hot cold, and then being healthcare practitioners, just giving some basic lifestyle interventions that are in our right. expertise side of things. We also have a podcast. Yeah, we've stirred for better and for worse the pot, yeah. I've always been known as
the physio pot.
Yeah, a little bit of a physio pot. And you know what? Listen, it wasn't our intent to do that, but we did speak our mind one episode in particular. But really, the emphasis of the podcast is to try and grow our profession and is just a creative outlet.
Yeah, that too.
So we have aligned ourselves with interviewing athletes and healthcare practitioners, and it goes from anything from sports performance to the sport itself to struggles they've had along the way. We recently had a guy named Mike Dock come on, who's a good family friend of mine, who is an Ironman, who struggled with cancer and is still battling that. And you know, like, that's one example of many. We had Jamie come on speaking about pro rugby. And yeah, it's you know, listen, if you're not into athletes and movement, it's not a podcast for you. If you are and you can tolerate a psycho like me talking to a bunch of cool people, great. And selfishly for me, I've learned a ton. And it's just been fun. I've always been a guy who's learned a lot from podcasts, and it's cool to have our own one. And, you know, it's been well received, and it hasn't been well received. And I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't care. We're doing it more for ourselves and to help others. And if people don't like it, that's okay. That's absolutely fine. Don't listen.
Yeah,
and if you want to check it out, we're
we're gonna find you.
So where can you find us? I guess Spotify, iTunes, all those platforms.
Yeah.
And if you, we have a Instagram account, and it's _ PT Lab. Our website is like 90% done, but we also have an email. It's just PTLab709 for Newfoundland@gmail.com. So let's. That's us, and we have a LinkedIn account as well.
And these will all be on the in description of the podcast. So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're not on Facebook. We're not on TikTok or any of that.
Hold off on your webpage. Just let's say.
Because
it's not really set up. We can't really get.
I mean, if you want to reach out to us, just pop up the Swallers. We're usually there.
And you can put your email address there. So it's PTLab709.
PTLab709@gmail.com. Yeah, that would be the easiest way to contact us. And if you ever want a good Guinness on tap, Swallers Rugby Club now is Guinness tap. So
excellent. Well, and
there you go.
Look forward to coming on the podcast.
Yeah.
And before I can just give those ones up here, it's a prize question for you. But how did the, because you and you were here last week when we actually didn't record well with too much distortion. But you said you were playing tennis the weekend, last weekend?
Oh, yeah. So a local legend here, Jack Hurley, it was his memorial tournament. He passed away of ALS, and there was a great turnout. 101 people played.
Nice.
There was a
I played with my mom.
Yeah, we had a good time. We didn't lift the trophy, but it wasn't about that.
How close were you though?
We weren't close. Yeah, very close. It was nothing to do with my mom. I'm washed up, man. I haven't played properly.
Oh, yeah?
I haven't played properly in 14 years. Dennis and I don't have a very good relationship. I was a John McEnroe wannabe. I was definitely an angry kid when I was playing. I didn't like to lose. Who does? Those individual sports are a dichotomy, man.
Yeah.
They teach a lot of discipline, but they can be very, very destructive as well. So. There's good to him too, but you know, not to take it away from that, Jack did so much good for everyone, and of any coach I had, he probably instilled some very, very good life advice and one-liners that I appreciate now more than I ever did, because I didn't understand them when I was 13 and 15, and one of my main coaches was his son, so he had four sons, two of them flew back and played. It was awesome. It was cool to have a memorial tournament in his name, and then to see his family, and then see, you know, the tennis community come together and make it more about Jack the man. And we had a social. It was great to see some old players and see some old friends. And I coached for a couple of years, so it was good to see some of the kids as well. And God bless the guy who ran the tournament. He's 15 years old. He's a stud tennis player. I won't say his name because I haven't asked for permission, but he basically did the job of three people.
Nice.
And, you know, the guy could run for premier, and I'd vote for him.
I mean, 15 years old?
Grade 9, man. He might be 14. Who knows? But, like, honestly, I think he's much more mature than I am. But, yeah, the Sports for St. John's is growing live and well, and it's cool to have this be a profession or try and call it a profession. Who knows? I might be waiting tables in a few years, but it's cool, man. And like, I love what you're doing, Nick.
Nice,
it's really cool what you're doing, and some of the guests you've had on have been phenomenal. And I think you're doing a lot of good for concussion awareness.
Nice,
so
thanks a lot.
Keep it up, buddy.
Your presentation today was great too. So. Thank you so much. And I hope every day if you took some advice, took some wisdom from your wisdom.
I'm looking forward to having you on ours too, man.
I can't wait for that.
Your story is tragic, but also very inspirational at the same time, right?
Thanks,
so,
thank you.
Yeah.
So thank you everyone for listening, and hope this one, well, if you're listening, then this obviously did go out, so I'm kind of talking about nothing here. But hopefully there's no distortion. And this will actually be recording, and I'm leaning towards, I think it's like, do all this now. So now it's off, because...
Keep your stick on the ice.
Yes. So thank you, everybody, and hopefully let's dig in soon, next week.
Who do you got on next week?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well... HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.